السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll be continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه. The strongest factor that shaped Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه's character and brought out his talents and his potentials and purified his ruh was his keeping company with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and studying at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman radiallahu anhu stayed close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah Mukarramah after he became Muslim, and he stayed close to him in Madinah Munawwarah after he made Hijrat to Madinah Munawwarah. Uthman radiallahu anhu devoted himself to studying various branches of ilm at the hands of his teacher and guide of mankind, who had been taught by his Rabb in the best manner. So he was eager to learn the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah from the leader of all mankind, meaning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, ilm is a very, very important thing. Without ilm, you are in darkness. Right? You see, for example, you take Afghanistan, right? In Afghanistan, ilm is widespread. Even while the jihad was carrying on too, they were still teaching Adim course in the mountains too. Right? So ilm was always alive. So when the Taliban, Allah Ta'ala gave them victory, for them to implement the Shariat was a breeze. Because everybody already understands the Shariat. Right? Everybody understands the Shariat, they understand the wisdom, they understand the laws. Now if you take Syria, it's a different story. Right? We're not talking about the strength of people's iman. People's iman, their strength of the iman, that only Allah knows. But we're talking about dini ilm. So Syria used to be a place of learning. There were senior muhaddithin in Syria, senior ulama. But you see this zalim Assad and his father, they made so much of zulam, they killed so many of the ulama, and then a lot of the ulama, they had to leave. Right, protect their lives. They went away, some of them went away into exile in other countries. Right? They had to leave Syria and they went away. With the result, there was hardly any madrasa happening. Right? So the Mujahideen, when they took Idlib, so they established little bit madrasas, but you're fighting a war, how much you gonna teach in a madrasa now? Right? And Idlib is a small part of the country. The rest of the country is nothing. There's only this warped Shiism and secular education. So now that Allah Ta'ala gave them victory, they first have to educate the people now. How are you gonna just go and implement something that the people don't know? But you see, the other day, the Syrian government, Ahmad al-Shara, they made a declaration that only the four madhahib are recognized in our country. And the aqidah of the Maturidi and the Ash'ari, this is recognized in our country. So in other words, what the Ahlul Sunnah subscribe to, that is what is accepted in the country. You know? So they have to take baby steps. Because to start off with, the aqidah of the people is corrupted. Then the people got no ilm. So now slowly the ulama are coming back. Now slowly madrasas are starting, masjids are getting rebuilt, classes are, now that's why in Syria, when people become Hafiz and all, they make it like a big thing. Have a huge jalsa and like, you know, because they're trying to encourage people to learn. Turkey is the same problem. Turkey, the people are ignorant. There's so much of Western culture, you know. So with this Erdogan, slowly, slowly he opened the masjids, he allowed for azan to be given on the mic, some small, small madrasas are starting. Otherwise, before that, there was nothing. You couldn't even talk in Arabic. You couldn't read Quran Sharif. So the levels of jahalat are very high. I saw with my own eyes, right, in Turkey. The person, he got off the train. There's a masjid there. So where I was staying, opposite there was a masjid. So to go there for salah, fajr, maghrib, isha, to go there for namaz. During the day I wasn't around, gone out here, there. So for fajr, maghrib, isha is to try and make it in that masjid there. So I went for, I think it was Maghrib or Isha now, I can't remember. Went there, this fellow got off the train. Now he's finished working and he's on his way home, right? He got his daru bottle. Right? He's coming to the masjid. He put his shoes in the shoe rack with his daru bottle. Right? He come read his namaz. After namaz, he take his daru bottle and his shoes and he's going home. In Turkey, I don't know if it's changed now, but in the time I went, every cafe sells daru. Every cafe sells beer, wine, or normal cafe. You'll see one side all. In Yuka, it's very hard to find an eating place in Turkey, in Istanbul, I don't know about outlying areas, but in the main cities, very hard to find an eating place that don't serve wine. Now just the level of jahalat and the level of hirs, greed, because they want the Western European tourism. You see? But when your community is educated, they got a high level of education, then it's very easy to implement the Sharia. So ilm is a very, very important thing. Very, very important. But obviously with ilm then you must have amal also, have tazkiyah also. But if you got no ilm, you go in the wrong direction. Understand? Jee. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu tells us how he stayed close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth and revealed the Quran Sharif to him. And I was one of those who responded to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I brought Iman. I made the two early hijrats and I became the son-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I received guidance directly from him. Directly from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was trained according to the Quranic method. And the one who taught him was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The starting point in Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's ta'aneem, his education, came when he met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he underwent a sudden and marvelous transformation. As soon as he met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came forth from darkness into light, acquiring iman and shunning kufr. He was then able to bear hardships for the sake of this deen and for the sake of the pure beliefs. The personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the main attraction to Islam, for he possessed the ability to attract and influence others. Allah Ta'ala had prepared him and molded him and made him the most perfect human being in the history of mankind. Greatness is always loved and admired by people. Admirers gather around it and remain attached to it. But in the case of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, added to that greatness was the fact that he was the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. Right? He is the one who received wahi from Allah Ta'ala and he conveyed it to mankind. It's not a small thing, no? This added a further dimension to, you know, impacted on the mu'mineen. This is, Allah Ta'ala is allowing for us to be in the company of His Nabi. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving wahi directly from Allah Ta'ala. What a connection. What a close connection. He was not loved just like how great men are loved. Anybody in their field, if they become good in that field, they are loved. There will be some people who love. Even a person who he becomes great in how to kick a ball, he too is loved. Somebody knows how to swim like a fish, he too is loved. Everybody is loved in their field. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not loved just like that. But he was loved because of that divine connection. Divine connection that here our Allah Ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a believer was in the presence of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in the presence of wahi. He was in the presence of wahi. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the one hand, he was the greatest human being. And on the other hand, he was the greatest messenger. These two qualities ultimately combined and became one. There was no distinction between the two. Both these things were like one in him. Thus the believer's love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was love for the messenger of Allah Ta'ala as a human being and for the human being as a messenger. Love for Allah Ta'ala was connected to love for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the two joined together in the mu'min's heart, becoming the focal point of all his emotions and the basis for his behavior, his akhlaq, his mannerisms, how he carries himself. This love that motivated the first generation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is the focus and starting point of Islamic personal development. You see, love, when you have love, right? True love for Allah Ta'ala. Now, you won't swear another person because of who he belongs to. You got love for Allah Ta'ala, that person belongs to Allah Ta'ala, how am I going to fight with him? How am I going to sway him? So it even molds your akhlaq when you have love for Allah Ta'ala. Through the blessing of the suhbat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also the ta'aleem of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum attained a very high level of iman. Uthman radiallahu an studied at the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He learned Quran Sharif from him. He learned Sunnah from him. He learned the rules of tilawat, how to recite Quran Sharif from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his tazkiyah was also made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَائِمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people of the scriptures, meaning the Jews and the Christians, in other words, Allah Ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to address them, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, and that we associate no partners with Him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides Allah Ta'ala. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness, we are Muslims. So Uthman radiallahu anh, he was keen to immerse himself in the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stayed close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during times of war and peace. As the kitab goes on, we will see Uthman radiallahu anhu's attitude, his way concerning jihad, concerning politics, social life, and economics. Right? And all this was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Madani period. Meaning after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved away to Medina Munawwara. Right? Uthman radiallahu anhu was there with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam settled in Medina Munawwara, he started establishing the foundations of the Islamic state. He began to create bonds of brotherhood between the Muhajireen and the Ansar. So Uthman radiallahu anhu's brother was Aus bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, Ansari brother. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, masjid. And he drew up a treaty with the Jews, because Jews were living there, so he drew up a treaty with them. And he started to send out military expeditions. Right? See, the first thing, the Markaz was established, Madina Munawwara. Right? So, the second step is to create unity between the people. So how he created the unity? Brotherhood. Because the Muhajirun, now they came from Makkah Mukarramah, right? They are not known, most of them are not known here in Madina Munawwara. The Ansar, they are people of Madina Munawwara. Now we need their hearts to become one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam formed the brotherhood between them. United their hearts. Right? Then, masjid. Right? Masjid needs to be built. Now, after masjid is built, now we have to establish Allah's law on earth. Now, how are we going to do that? Jihad. Jihad now is to take place. We, the ummah, we forgot about the jihad. That's why we are where we are. Right? If you follow the tartib, Makkah, Iman was being built. The Muhajirun. Came to Madina Munawwara. Now a Markaz is established. Brotherhood. Unite the Ummah now. Unite the Ummah. Masjid. Masjid is established. Now we have to establish Allah Ta'ala's deen on earth. So now the military expeditions have to start. There's no now, okay, we came from Makkah, a lot of problem we had there. Now we come in, hey, we need a rest now, you know. We need a holiday. We need a break. We need to take things easy. No. Taking things easy, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Or taking things easy and luxury and having a good time, that's in the akhirah. That's not here in the dunya. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to send out military expeditions, and then, now, you have to also pay attention to the economy. But the economy must be halal also, right? And then, you need to now establish foundations for ta'aneem now, in this new community. Otherwise, you're going to have people now coming into deen, but they are ignorant. So you need now what we will call madrasas and all that. Right? Uthman radiallahu anh was one of the pillars of this newly found Islamic state. Right? He did not withhold any advice, any opinion, right? Whenever anything, if his advice was sought, his opinion was sought, he didn't withhold it. And then he didn't withhold his wealth. Usman radhiyallahu anhu was a wealthy person. Whatever takaza of deen, whatever, you know, need, monetary need came up, Usman radhiyallahu anhu, he spent his money. He spent his money. And he was present at every major battle, except the Battle of Badr. The reason why he wasn't at the Battle of Badr, that we will discuss it inshallah. The Shia like to use this to point fingers at him. Right? So you got to understand why Uthman radhiyallahu anhu was absent on the occasion of the Battle of Badr. We will discuss it inshallah. We'll stop there for today. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.